Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilatam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakadvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sundabhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Do we have microphones available? Okay. Satya, you want to start, say something about this verse? Page 336.
So Krishna says, deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So we see in the material world that there's so many different religions and there's so many different philosophies, and people are saying there's God and there's no God, or we are God, and there's all of these different conceptions and philosophies are, you know, influenced by these different modes, basically. But Krishna is saying he's transcendental to these modes and that he has a personality and a form. But to understand that, one has to go beyond these modes. Even Prabhupada makes a point here, kind of at the end of the purport. He says that those in the mode of goodness, they can't really go beyond the Brahman conception. And we see that's very prevalent, you know, today. You know, even amongst the Buddhists, or even amongst religious theologians, you know, like in the, like, not so much the masses of people, like in Christianity or in Islam, but when you get it to the scholars and to the gyanis of those religions who are into speculation and trying to understand according to their own experience what is the nature of God, they get to this level of Brahman, and that's about that's as far as you can go. And it's very... It's not such a difficult position to come to, because for one who's a jnani, or who one is in the mode of goodness, who begins to see things as they are, they're observing the material world. They're observing the body, they're observing the mind, and see that the mind's always changing, body's always changing, but consciousness, hey Hare Krishna, consciousness isn't changing. So we can all observe that ourselves. And that's attractive on one degree, to one degree too, because that's a direct experience we can have. Because there's so many different philosophies, there's so many people saying this and that. And hearing philosophies and different theories is it's dry. Right? It's still you're talking. Words can only indicate. You know, they aren't, you know, it's just like we see the sign San Jose. The sign San Jose and San Jose are not the same place. The sign is just indicating the place. So in a sense, words can only indicate the absolute truth and don't give the direct experience. So the Gyanis and those in the mode of goodness, they're really after some taste and some experience. And after a while, philosophies and speculations become very dry. But they can come to this level that they can understand. Well, consciousness isn't changing, and mind is always changing, body is always changing. So I'm consciousness, I'm spirit, and that's a very pleasant state, no more suffering. But you can't go beyond that. So Krishna, he's bringing out this point right here. Then he's saying, and Prabhupada says, what to speak of someone who's in the mode of passion or ignorance? How are they going to understand the personality of Godhead? And then in the next verse, Krishna is going to explain what the qualification is for one who's actually going to understand him. And it's not by just coming to the mode of goodness or by one's own endeavor.
Domo arigato gozaimasu. Yes.
This purport brings up the question in its strictest sense as to what Brahman is. Because if you look in the Bhagavad Gita, it has been defined in many places. Brahman has been referred to one place as the material substance from which cosmic manifestation has come in. But here in this purport, it is making a distinction between Brahman and yet another position to be achieved, if I understand it correctly, that it is saying that one is in the mode of goodness and may even be in Brahman realization, but the person has not transcended. Is that correct? It's not come to the transcendental position, or is the person already in transcendental position? So it raises the question of what Brahman is and how we distinguish it from higher states.
Microphone back.
So in the Bhagavatam, the first canto, in the second chapter, I think it is, there's the verse, Vedanti tat tat vav vidas tat vam yas gyanam advayam Ramiti paramatminti bhagavaniti sabjite. So this word Brahman, or the substance Brahman, is non-dual, yet it has three aspects of oneness, localized, God localized in everything, and then God as Bhagavan. So it's all considered Brahman. Or you can, you know, Krishna talks about Brahman in the 14th chapter, where he's talking about the three modes of material nature, and then at the end he says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vivasya cha sasvatasya tadharmasya sukasya ikantiki kasya cha. He says that I am the basis of that Brahman, which is the constitutional position of happiness. So, someone who comes to the level of atma-gyan, or realization of the self, which is Brahman, is going to experience that constitutional happiness. and will be transcendental to the modes of material nature, but may not have the realization of the Paramatma or the Bhagavan. I'm not sure if this answers your question, but you can be in a transcendental position even while you're in this body, realize you're Brahman, be freed of the modes of material nature, be free of all suffering, be fully satisfied, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, but not have the realization of Paramatma or Bhagavan.
Where Brahman is referred to and great importance is given to Brahman. This is 1426, if we can go to page 625. The verse essentially says that one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and then comes to the level of Brahman. So here, Brahman is described in the context of having transcended the three modes. It would even imply that one has transcended goodness. And also, there is some connection to devotional service. It says one who engages in devotional service transcends the modes and comes to Brahman. Here, Brahman would imply that one has got beyond the modes into a higher state, and that devotional service is also connected to it. So my original question really came up is because Brahman is described in several places, and here in this specific verse is given the importance that is beyond the three modes of nature, yet in the current purport we did, it says that one who is in goodness cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman to another stage.
Kishore had a point. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just had a point that if someone is realizing the impersonal conception of the Absolute without realizing the higher aspects like Paramatma or Bhagavan, in that state, the ananda aspect is missing, if I am not wrong. Sat, chit, ananda, there are three aspects. So the ananda aspect is missing. So he cannot stay there for a long time. He has to eventually come back. So, but one who has realized Bhagavan, that includes all these three aspects. Because Bhagavan is not different from, we cannot differentiate between Paramatma or impersonal Brahman or Bhagavan. They are all together. So one who has realized Bhagavan, for him the he can, it is all automatically means that he has already reached the level of Brahman. That's what I think this verse says in this page 625 that it is talking.
The main point was this.
Mike.
It was really this distinction between being frozen at the mode of goodness and arriving into a transcendental platform. 1426 indicates that when one comes in Brahman, they have transcended goodness. They have arrived into the transcendental platform. But the current verse 13, 7:13 purport seems to imply that even in the mode of goodness, where one has contact with impersonal Brahman, one is not transcending. One seems to be frozen there. Am I conveying?
Also there's this, the word goodness, you know, is sattva. So there's sattva and then there's sudasattva. So there's the material goodness, but then there's the spiritual goodness.
And in this verse, as Kishore was pointing out too, that in this case, Brahman is indicating, you know, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a Bhagavan realization and engaging in service to the Lord. And then there's a famous verse in the second canto, It's probably in the sloka book.
We can move up, please.
That describes liberation in terms of one's realizing one's constitutional position. How does that verse go? It's just a short savastiti.
Vyavasthitihi, that attaining one's original sarup is the actual position of liberation, mm-hmm. from second canto. Swarupena vyavasthitihi.
Bhanuswami, he was saying, again, he's quoting from Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti, and he says that those who are envious of the personality of Godhead, their maya bodies, and their offenders of the Lord, they can enter into some impersonal realization, but they will fall down. Those are the ones who come back.
I'd like to just introduce... Oh, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, to summarize, is it basically if we cultivate the mode of goodness, the highest you can get through that is eventually you get to the point of Brahman realization. But what's being said in chapter 14, as I understand it, is that if we do devotional service, and straight away we come to that platform, or by doing devotional service, we'll come to that platform with or without. It's like a different thing.
Partivad dharano dumas tasmat agnis trayimayaha tamasastu rajastasmat satvam yad brahmadarshanam. This verse indicates from the second chapter of the first canto that from the position of sattva, one can have some indication, some glimpse of Brahman. Satvam yad brahmadarshanam means he can see what is Brahman. He can, as Satyadeva Prabhu was saying, he can distinguish between the body and not the body. Nasato vidite bhavo na bhavo vidite sata ubayor api jishton tas tvanayos tattvadarshi bi. Somebody who's tattvadarshi, who is in the mode of goodness, that's required, can see the difference between what exists and what doesn't exist, understanding this Brahman position. You were using the term frozen, which is... that's why I want to introduce this particular section from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this Brahman realization, or the introductory level of to spiritual life, and that's what it is actually. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Shochati na Kankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that the beginning of spiritual life, where one can actually enter into this position of bhakti, is from this liberated position, Brahman position. And however, it's a progressive path, of course, according to one's disposition. As Satyadeva Prabhu was saying, if somebody's envious or they have bad association, you may not only be frozen, you will fall down from that situation. And somebody else indicated that, I think it was Bhakti Leon, Yene Ravindaksha Vamuktamaninas. Somebody just got away, I think. Yene Ravindaksha Vamuktamaninas Toyasta Bhava Davashuda Buddhaya Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata Patantyato Nadrita Yushmarangraya. The demigods who are praying to Lord Krishna within the womb indicated that unless one comes to this position of Bhagavan realization, that it means reestablishing one's relationship with Krishna, that whatever position he attains, even if it's Brahman, then he'll fall back down again, as Kishore Prabhu said, that there's no standing there eternally because the soul searches for ananda, ananda mayobhyasat. That's the nature of the souls, to have ananda. And without that, without the variety in the spiritual side, he'll seek the variety on the material side. He'll fall back down, be attracted to the material nature. And there are many examples of that given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita given by a Brahmin who offered poetry before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu met this Brahmin and asked him some questions. and he was a great Vaishnava. And one of the things that he said was that some people, they worship the impersonal Brahman, some people they worship the Mahabharata, some people are afraid of material existence and therefore they take shelter of the Vedas. He said, for myself, I worship Nanda Maharaj, because in his courtyard, the Supreme Brahman is crawling around like a little baby. So this position, you know, there are different levels, there are gradations, and it's an evolution. A spiritual life is an eternal evolution, as Prabhupada points out in the Nectar Devotion, like a ray of light expanding. Excuse me, static electricity. Like a ray of life expanding, it goes. What is that? I'm getting too excited. It expands eternally. And so, in this section, which I'll get to straight away because we're running out of time, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya gave to Rupa Goswami, Shantarase swarup bhudye krishnaika nishtaka shamoman nishtaha bhudhe iti shrimukha gata. When one is fully attached to Krishna's lotus feet, one attains the shamatha stage. The word samatha is derived from the word shama. Therefore, shantaras, the position of neutrality, means being fully attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the verdict from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This state is called self-realization. Shamoman ishta bhudher iti shri bhavad vacha tanishta durgata bhudher etam shantaratim vina. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage called Shantarati or Shama. Without Shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve. Therefore, Madbhaktim Labhate Param, it's described here how if one's too distracted by the modes of material nature, especially, as Satyadev Prabhu said, passion and ignorance, the distraction's too great to actually, you know, fix one's mind. It's very difficult. So when one comes to this position of samatha, of equality, and then one can actually fix one's mind in devotional service steadily. Shamo man nishta mishata bhudher dhamu indriya samyama tiktiksha dhukasam marsho jivopasta jayo dhritihi. The word shama or shantaras indicates that one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhamma means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. Endurance of unhappiness is titiksha, and dhriti means controlling the tongue and the genitals. Purport. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.36. The conditioned soul under the clutches of maya, the material energy, is very much agitated by the urges of the tongue and the genitals. Control of the urges of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals, which are situated in a straight line, is called dhriti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Taramadhye jivayati lobamoye sudurmati. Among the senses, the tongue is the most formidable enemy of the conditioned soul. Urged by the tongue, one commits many sinful activities. Although Krishna has given human beings nice food, people still commit sins by killing poor animals for the satisfaction of the tongue. Not being able to control the tongue, the conditioned soul eats more than he needs. Of course, everyone must eat to keep the body fit for the Lord's service, but when one cannot control the senses, he falls victim to the dictations of the tongue and the belly. Naturally, genital agitation follows, and one seeks illicit sex. However, if one is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, he can control the tongue. Bhaktivinoda Thakur further states, Krishna bodhodaya moy kuri bhari jihajoy saprasad anadilo bhai. In order to conquer the tongue, Krishna has been very merciful and has given us nice food that has been offered to him. When a person is attached to Krishna's lotus feet, he does not eat anything not offered to Krishna. Shayanamritakao Radha Krishna Gunagao Premedako Chaitanya Nitai. Since a devotee eats only prasadam, he conquers the dictations of the tongue, belly, and genitals. One can control the dictates of the senses when situated in the position of Shantaras. Then one's advancement in Krishna consciousness is assured. Text 2.14. Krishna bina trishna tyaga tara karyamani
Ataiva Shanta Krishna Bhakta Eka Jani. Giving up all desires not connected with Krishna is the business of one who is in Shantaras. Only a devotee of Krishna can be situated on that platform. He is thus called a Shantaras Bhakta. Purport. In this position, one is freed from all material enjoyment. When one is not agitated or disturbed, he can immediately realize his relationship with Krishna. A Shantaras devotee is therefore always fixed in realization. This instruction was given by the Lord himself to Uddhava. The beginning of pure devotional service is called Anyabhilashita Shunya. When one is situated on the platform of neutrality, he is freed from the material platform and fully situated in spiritual life. The word Dhamma, used in verse 2.13, means Indriya Samyama, curbing one's senses. The word Dhamma can also mean curbing one's enemies. A king has to take steps to curb the criminal activities of his citizens. Great Rajarshi devotee kings used to control undesirable elements in their states, and this also may be called Dhamma. However, Dhamma here refers to the conditioned soul who must control his senses. Real Dhamma means controlling the undesirable activities of the senses. Text 2.15. When a devotee is situated on the platform of Shantaras, he desires neither elevation to the heavenly planets nor liberation. These are the results of karma and jnana, and the devotee considers them no better than hell. A person situated on Shantaras platform manifests the two transcendental qualities of detachment from all material desires and full attachment to Krishna. Text 2.16. A person who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is not afraid of anything. Elevation to the heavenly kingdom, condemnation to hell, and liberation from material bondage all appear the same to a devotee. These two qualities of the Shantaras spread through the lives of all devotees. They are like the quality of sound in the sky. Sound vibration is found in all material elements. It is the nature of Shantaras that not even the smallest intimacy exists. Rather, knowledge of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. On the platform of Shantaras, one realizes only his constitutional position. But when one is raised to the platform of Dasyaras, he better understands the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the Dasyaras platform, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed with awe and veneration. By rendering service unto Lord Krishna, the devotee in Dasyaras gives constant happiness to the Lord. The qualities of Shantaras are also present in Dasyaras, but service is added. Thus, the Dasyaras platform contains the qualities of both Shantaras and Dasyaras. The quality of Shantaras and the service of Dasyaras are both present on the platform of Sakyaras. On the platform of fraternity, the qualities of Dasyaras are mixed with the confidence of fraternity instead of awe and veneration. On the Sakyaras platform, the devotee sometimes offers the Lord service and sometimes makes Krishna serve him in exchange. In their mock fighting, the cowherd boys would sometimes climb on Krishna's shoulders, and sometimes they would make Krishna climb on their shoulders. Awe and veneration are absent on the platform of fraternity, since this rasa is predominated by service imbued with confidence. Therefore, Sakyaras is characterized by the qualities of the three rasas. On the platform of Sakyaras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is controlled by the devotees who are intimate with him and think themselves equal to him. On the platform of paternal love, the qualities of Shantaras, Dasyaras, and Sakyaras are all transformed into a form of service called maintenance. The essence of fraternal love is intimacy devoid of the formality and veneration found in Dasyaras. Due to a greater sense of intimacy, the devotee functioning in parental love chastises and rebukes the Lord in an ordinary way. On the platform of parental love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer. Thus, the Lord is the object of maintenance, like a son, and therefore this mellow is full of the qualities of the four rasas, Shantaras, Dasyaras, fraternity, and parental love. This is more transcendental nectar. The exchange of spiritual happiness between Krishna and his devotee, in which Krishna is controlled by his devotee, is compared to an ocean of nectar into which the devotee and Krishna plunge. This is the verdict of learned scholars who appreciate Krishna's opulence. Again, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O my Lord, I offer my obeisances hundreds and thousands of times with all affection, because by your personal pastimes you plunge the gopis into an ocean of nectar. Appreciating your opulence, devotees generally declare that you are always subjugated by their feelings. On the platform of conjugal love, attachment for Krishna, rendering service unto him, the relaxed feelings of fraternity and the feelings of maintenance all increase in intimacy. On the platform of conjugal love, the devotee offers his body in the service to the Lord. Thus, on this platform, the transcendental qualities of all five rasas are present. All the material qualities evolve one after another in the material elements, beginning from ether. By gradual evolution, first one quality develops, then two qualities develop, then three and four, until all five qualities are found in earth. Similarly, on the platform of conjugal love, all the feelings of the devotees are amalgamated. The intensified taste is certainly wonderful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then concluded, I have simply given a general survey describing the mellows of devotional service. You can consider how to adjust and expand this. So, anyway, the point was that the beginning platform is this samatha, or shantaras, which pervades, as he says, all of the different other rasas. And there's an evolution in spiritual life according to one's association and according to one's original constitution as well. Okay. So tonight we heard from the Krishna book, the Nectar Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita. Anything else? The dictionary. We found a typo right on the cover of the Bhagavad Gita. And we heard from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is quoted. We'll count that. Okay? So that we'll have Artik, and then after that we'll have Prashadam, and then we'll go on hearing and chanting, keeping the vibration going and wherever we are. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopremanande Haribo.